Pastor Rick Warren often says, you were made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, in our series called God's Vision for the Rest of Your Life, Rick continues in his effort to help you discover the unique purpose and vision that the Lord has for your life. Now, before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous friend has given a $100,000 matching grant to Daily Hope. That means that all this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the hope of Jesus around the world will be matched up to $100,000. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Why You Need a Church Family.
1979, I was finishing seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. I just finished my master's degree, and I felt like God was saying, I want you to go start a new church. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And I'll go anywhere in the whole world that you want me to. But I just ask you for the privilege of spending my entire life in one location. That's all I ask. Just let me stay in one church for life. So I got out a map of the world and began praying about the whole world. And we prayed for about 6 months. And to make a long story short, we finally zoned in on Orange County. Now, I was going to a Baptist seminary in Texas. And so I got a name somehow of a guy who was like a regional leader of churches in Orange County. And his name was Herman Wooten. I wrote him a letter and it said, Dear Mr. Wooten, my name's Rick Warren. I'm a seminary student. I'm thinking about starting a new church, and I'm feeling strangely drawn to come to the Saddleback Valley. I'm not asking for your support or any money. I just want to know, what do you think of that area? Because I'd never seen it. And interestingly enough, somehow this guy had heard about me, and he wrote me a letter, and it said, Dear Mr. Warren, I've heard that you're graduating from seminary. I have heard that you're interested in starting a new church. Have you ever considered a place called the Saddleback Valley? And our letters crossed in the mail. And I'm going, okay, something's up. Now, it was a great idea. There are only a few problems. First, I had never been a senior pastor. Second, I had never been to the Saddleback Valley. Third, I had no money, no members, and no building. Outside of that, things were great. So Kay and I, in January of 1980, decided that we would move here on faith. And being wealthy seminary students, we packed up everything in a U-Haul truck and moved across to Southern California. Now, we got here about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, coming in on 91 Freeway. Amy was 4 months old at the time. And we were just, you know, a young couple, 25 years old. Now, you need to understand that I grew up in a town of less than 500 people. I'm a country boy. And when I saw the traffic jam on 91 Freeway coming in, I looked around and said, God, you got the wrong guy. But we pulled down into the Saddleback Valley about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I got off at the El Toro off-ramp, found the first real estate office I could find, and I walked in and I met a guy named Don. I said, my name is Rick Warren. I'm 25 years old. I'm here to start a church. I need a place to live, and I don't have any money. And he did what you just did. He started laughing. And, you know, we didn't even have any money for the first night for a motel. We were actually going to spend the night in the truck. We were that broke. Well, Don, to make the story short, found us a condo over in Laguna Hills. And within 2 hours, we had signed the papers on it. We had started moving in. He got us no deposit down and the first month rent free. And that man became the first member of Saddleback Church. As we were driving to the condo, I said, hey, Don, you go to church anywhere? And he said, no. I go, you're my first member. And so we started a week later in my little condo, the seven of us, my wife and I and Amy, our little daughter, 4 month old, Don, his wife, and his little girl, and one other person. I then went out and spent the next 12 weeks just talking to people. I went door to door for 12 weeks. And I took a little notepad with me, and I said, I'd knock on the door and I'd say, are you an active member of any church? If they said yes, I said, great, God bless you, keep going there. And frankly, I wasn't interested in the opinion of Christians. So when I'd find somebody who said, no, I don't go anywhere, I said, perfect, you're just the kind of person I want to talk to. I said, I'm not going to sell you anything. I'm not here to convert you. I'm not here to invite you anything. I just want to know your opinion. And I asked some questions like, what do you think is the greatest need in this area? Why do you think most people don't attend church? If you were looking for a church, what kind of things would you look for since, you know, you don't go to church? What advice would you give to me as a pastor who really wants to help the community? And I just listened. And after 12 weeks of listening to people, I decided, let's be a church for people who hate church. People who would never be caught dead in a traditional church. And so what I did is I wrote an open letter to the community. And the first line of it said, at last, a new church for people who've given up on traditional churches. And that little Bible study group had grown from my wife and I to about 15 people. And we hand-addressed and hand-stamped 15,000 letters and mailed them out 10 days before Easter and planned our first service at Laguna Hills High School. Then I said, I'm going to take the 15 of you down to the high school a week in advance and we're going to do a dress rehearsal. So next week when people show up at Easter, it looks like we know what we're doing. You know, we'll have 1 week practice. So we took everybody down the week before Easter. Only some people misread the letter and came a week early. We had 60 people to trial run service. Five of them gave their lives to Christ. I want to say, no, you can't get saved until next week. I'm sorry. Okay, come back next week. But we let them in anyway. And on Easter Sunday, 205 people showed up at the first official service of Saddleback Church. We had really hit our target. There weren't more than about five traditional Christians in the group. And I got up and I said, let's open our Bibles. Nobody had a Bible. I said, let's sing these songs. Nobody knew the songs. I said, let's pray. You know, I'm going, this is a different kind of church. And in the first 10 weeks, 80 people gave their lives to Christ and Saddleback Church was born.
Thank you so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We've got some incredible news to share with you. A very generous friend has given a $100,000 matching grant to this ministry. All this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the certain hope of Jesus around the world will be matched up to $100,000. So $25 becomes $50, $50 becomes $100, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever you give will be doubled by the matching grant up to $100,000, but only till midnight December 31st. So please contact us today. Go to PastorRick.com or just call 800-600-5004.
If you want to make your time in prayer the best it can be, then you're going to want to get a copy of the brand new 2021 Daily Hope Prayer Journal. This year's theme, God's Great Adventure for You, will help you tap into God's power and presence when you learn how to pray with passion and purpose. Covered in soft vegan leather with full-color pages, this prayer journal has sections to pray for specific people and situations, as well as space to express your gratitude and personal prayer requests to God. Each page is beautifully designed and filled with inspiring Bible verses, photos, and artwork. The God's Great Adventure for You Prayer Journal is a spiritual growth tool designed to help you enjoy a vibrant prayer life, connect with God, and establish a consistent daily prayer time. When you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world, we'll send you the all-new 2021 Daily Hope Prayer Journal to say thanks. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 to get your prayer journal and have your gift matched up to $100,000. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
I went door to door for 12 weeks. And I took a little clip pad, notepad with me, and I said, I'd knock on the door and I'd say, are you an active member of any church? If they said yes, I said, great, God bless you, keep going there. And frankly, I wasn't interested in the opinion of Christians. So when I'd find somebody who said, no, I don't go anywhere, I said, perfect, you're just the kind of person I want to talk to. I said, I'm not going to sell you anything. I'm not here to convert you. I'm not here to invite you anything. I just want to know your opinion. And I asked some questions like, what do you think is the greatest need in this area? Why do you think most people don't attend church? If you were looking for a church, what kind of things would you look for since, you know, you don't go to church? What advice would you give to me as a pastor who really wants to help the community? And I just listened. And after 12 weeks of listening to people, I decided, let's be a church for people who hate church. People who would never be caught dead in a traditional church. And so what I did is I wrote an open letter to the community. And the first line of it said, at last, a new church for people who've given up on traditional churches. And that little Bible study group had grown from my wife and I to about 15 people. And we hand-addressed and hand-stamped 15,000 letters. And mailed them out 10 days before Easter. And planned our first service at Laguna Hills High School. Then I said, I'm going to take the 15 of you down to the high school a week in advance, and we're going to do a dress rehearsal. So next week when people show up at Easter, it looks like we know what we're doing. You know, we'll have 1 week practice. So we took everybody down the week before Easter. Only some people misread the letter and came a week early. We had 60 people to trial run service. Five of them gave their lives to Christ. I wanted to say, no, you can't get saved until next week. I'm sorry. Okay, come back next week. But we let them in anyway. And on Easter Sunday, 205 people showed up at the first official service of Saddleback Church. We had really hit our target. There weren't more than about five traditional Christians in the group. And I got up and I said, let's open our Bibles. Nobody had a Bible. I said, let's sing these songs. Nobody knew the songs. I said, let's pray. You know, I'm going, this is a different kind of church. And in the first 10 weeks, 80 people gave their lives to Christ and Saddleback Church was born. So this morning, we're going to look at why you need a church family as a second session. Now, the first session, we talked last week about God has five purposes for your life. That's a big idea. But let me give you an even bigger one, and it's this. You cannot fulfill those five purposes on your own. It is impossible. Life is not a solo act. You were created for community. You need a church family. The only way you can fulfill God's five purposes in your life is you need other people in your life who are giving you spiritual input. And so there are actually five specific benefits. And if you'll write these down, if you open it up, number one, the first benefit is a church helps me center my life around God. It helps me center my life around God. God didn't put you on earth to live a self-centered life. His purpose is for you to build your life with Him at the core. We talked about this last week. You were planned for God's pleasure. He made you to love you, and He wants you to love Him back. So God says, I want to be the hub of your heart. I want to be the focus of your attention. I want to be the center of your life. I want to be the axis of your existence. The Bible says this, Christ's love has the first and last word in everything we do. And our firm decision is to work from this focused center. Now, how can you tell when Christ is at the center of your life? God's at the center of your life. Well, I told you last week, you stop worrying. The next verse says this. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Now, there's a word for this, and you might write it down. It's the word worship. Whenever you focus your life on God, that's called worship. Whenever you center your life on God, a focused center, that is called worship. And worship is the antidote to worry. If you want to worry less, worship more. Because if you worship less, you're going to worry more. Now, when are we supposed to worship? Well, notice what the Bible says. You have 6 days to do your work, but the seventh day of each week is holy because it belongs to me. No matter where you live, you must rest, hear that, workaholics, and come together for worship. God says, once a week, I want you to come together for worship to refocus, to recalibrate, to recenter your life on me. Now, where are we supposed to do it? Well, look at the next verse. The Bible tells us in Acts that they worship together regularly at the temple courts. Now, notice it's plural there, courts. Why is it plural? Because they had too many members to meet in one spot. The Jerusalem church had 100,000 members. So it makes Saddleback small by comparison. And they couldn't put them all in one place, so they spread them out in different courts because they ran out of space. Courts around the temple. So a church helps me center my life around God because I'm planned for His pleasure. Number two, a church not only helps me center on God, it helps me connect with other believers. That's the second purpose. to connect with other believers. God did not put you on this earth to live an isolated, insulated kind of life. Remember, we talked in the first session that you're formed for God's family. And while you're here on earth, God wants you to learn to love other people, and he wants you to practice particularly loving others in his family. The Bible says this, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. Circle that word connected. There's a connection here. Once you become a child of God, you become my brother or sister. Now he says, what is this body? The next verse says, the body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much. He's saying, you know what? Your spiritual life does not amount to nothing if it's disconnected from the family of God. If I cut off this finger, it's not only not going to grow, it's not going to live. I have to be connected to the body. As I said earlier, life is not a solo act. God wired us to be created for community. We need each other. The California Department of Mental Health did a study, and they discovered that if you isolate yourself from others and you don't develop close friendships like in a small group, you are 3 times more likely to die of an early death. You're 4 times more likely to suffer emotional burnout. You're 5 times more likely to be clinically depressed, and you're 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for an emotional or mental disorder. So for your own mental health and the safety of others, get in a group. How many times do I have to say it? Get in a group. The Bible says this in 1 John, the person who loves God must also love other believers. Now the Bible has a word for this too. It's called fellowship. You might write that down. Fellowship is simply connecting with other believers. Fellowship, connecting with other believers. And the Bible says this, be devoted to each other like a loving family. The Bible says you're members of God's very own family and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. So how do you join a church fellowship? Well, I don't know how they do it in other churches, but it's real simple here. It's 2 steps. One, you choose to belong. You in your mind at some point decide, I'm not going to be an attender anymore, I'm going to be a member. I'm not going to just be a spectator, I'm going to be a participator. The Bible says this, first they gave themselves to the Lord, and then by God's will they gave themselves to us as well. These are the first 2 spiritual commitments of life. First, commitment to Christ. Then second, you commit yourself to Christ's family, to us. Membership is a commitment to other believers. It's saying, that's going to be my home. Now, there are lots of good churches. Just choose one and say, that's going to be my spiritual home, and I'm going to stick with it. That's where I'll share and be shared with. I'll give and be given to. I'll serve and be served with. That's going to be my spiritual family. You just don't hop around from place to place. So you choose to belong. And the second thing you do is you identify yourself through baptism. You identify yourself and show your commitment. The Bible says this, this is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body. Next verse says, that's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we're lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. And when we're raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. So when we baptize a person, Jesus was buried in the tomb 3 days. So we take a person, we put them under the water, leave them there 3 days, bring them back up, and if they're still alive, they get to join our church. Now the fact is, fellowship is a proof of your salvation. Notice this verse. Jesus said, your strong love for each other will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You know, the real secret of Saddleback's growth is the love that's in this place. Because every week, all of our members spread out into thousands of small groups, thousands of them, in 83 different cities. And in those small groups, love is shown, friendships are built, prayers are answered, needs are met, cares are taken care of. It is the church taking care of itself. That's fellowship. We worship in a large group, we fellowship in a small group. My church family helps me center my life on God on a regular basis. It helps me connect with other believers on a regular basis. Number 3, it helps me cultivate spiritual maturity. God doesn't want you to remain a spiritual baby. We talked about this in the first session, that the third purpose of life is God says, I want you to grow up. I don't want you to be a spiritual infant all your life. I want you to become like Christ. He says, I want you to grow. But here's the catch. You can't do it on your own. No baby ever grows up on its own. It needs a family of some kind.
Thank you so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We've got some incredible news to share with you. A very generous friend has given a $100,000 matching grant to this ministry. That means that all this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the certain hope of Jesus around the world will be matched up to $100,000. So $25 becomes $50, $50 becomes $100, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever you give will be doubled by the matching grant up to $100,000, but only till midnight December 31st. Anything not matched will be lost. You can give right now by going to PastorRick.com or by calling 800-600-5004. We'll say thanks by sending you the brand new Daily Hope Prayer Journal. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I want to take a minute and tell you how important your support is to Daily Hope. Your generosity, when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping us take the message of Jesus Christ literally all around the world in the many places where there aren't missionaries or churches. These are called unreached tribes. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the refugee crisis around the world. Literally, millions of people have been displaced from their homes, particularly in the Middle East and in North Africa, because of civil wars and violence. One of those places is South Sudan, where over 200,000 people are living in refugee camps. Now, when people are under tension and in transition, they are more open to the gospel than at any other time. These people who are living in refugee camps right now need the hope of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, when you help Daily Hope Radio and Daily Hope Broadcast, we're not only broadcasting across America, but in places like South Sudan, where the station airs our program three times a day. And we're told that many, many people are coming to Christ in this war zone as they listen to these Daily Hope broadcasts. So thanks. Thanks to you. Now, let me just read you one testimony that we've received. Here's a note from a woman who's living in a refugee camp there in South Sudan. She said, my name is Joyce, and I'm from the Central Equatorial State in South Sudan. I lost all five of my children and my beloved husband. This is in the civil war that was going on there, as well as our family possessions during the recent fighting in the capital of Juba. She said, I had planned to commit suicide. There's somebody who needs hope. When I listened to Rick Warren's broadcast, the one called When You Feel Like Giving Up, I got inspired and I dropped the idea of taking my life that very night. And I'll continue to pray God to bless this great preacher. And thank you for giving me hope. Joyce, we're happy to do that. And I want to say it's because of the listeners who are giving faithfully every month to Daily Hope. Do you realize that when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping reach people like Joyce? She was going to commit suicide in a refugee camp. Now, isn't God amazing? How when you just give what you can give, God takes it and he multiplies it. And we reach out to people that none of us could reach on our own. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for Joyce. And today I want you to pray for all of the people who are in refugee camps and pray that we'll be able to continue to broadcast on these stations, taking the good news of Jesus Christ and hope to people who need it the most desperately. It's your sacrificial giving. It's your prayer support that makes this possible. So thank you for whatever you can do. And God bless you, my friends.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.